Revelation chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations of filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. An angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come. I do praise you for the opportunity to come and to preach your word, to proclaim your word. We live in a nation, in a country that has been so blessed, and please, dear Lord, that you will continue to bless us, but we must be blessable. We must be ones that that deserve your blessing. And Father, with the direction that is going today in our country and in this land, we don't deserve your blessing any longer. And Father, I ask that the church be awakened and the preaching of your true word is preached and the revival can break out in this country and folks will be saved and begin to teach and preach the truth and not have all the activities as a country club would have, Father. Please, that you just guide and lead us and touch our hearts. As we look to this text this morning, I just ask that you'll lead us through it, through every verse. And we're going to back into some other chapters, dear Lord, back into chapter 12 and chapter 14 as we continue to bring all this together as this seventh vial is poured out. Now, please, guide and lead us today and bless each one of our hearts with your precious word. Save the lost and grow the saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This fall that we're looking at here in the 17th chapter, there came one of the seven angels and had seven vials that had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. This is none other than Babylon. And as we begin to look through this, I think that you'll see the connection. The fall of Babylon is told back in Revelation chapter 14. And under this seventh vial, as it's poured out, as the judgment upon this evil system takes place, we can go back, and we're going to go back to Revelation 14, and we're going to read from verse 8 to the end of the chapter, because this is what's going on right here in the 17th chapter. You know, sometimes you think that as you're reading through the scripture, you start with Genesis, and it you know, continues one. Well, we know that as you go through the Old Testament, especially, why some of those books are way out of place as far as the time is concerned. You get a chronological Bible, and you'll be surprised where some of those books show up in some of the times. It's so important to look at it in the proper way, and we find here that in verse chapter 14, verse 8, is what again is going on here in the 17th chapter with this vial being poured out. And so please follow along with me, beginning with the 8th verse, Revelation 14, 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Right blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, with the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came from the altar which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, which is about 175 miles. So you see, the 14th chapter just helps us to understand. It opens it up so that we can see what is going on here with the seventh vial. We need to look just a little bit at Babylon. We need to look at her character, her relationship with the beast, her relationship to the king of the earth, and her judgment, all to be given in these chapters 17 and 18 that's to come. And so now that we've slipped back to 14, you can kind of see what's coming. This all follows the pouring out. It's during the pouring out of the seventh vial. And again, this should fill us, help us to understand a little bit the scripture here as this seventh vial is being poured out. The devil, he is a master counterfeiter. The devil is a fake. He's phony. He is a mimic. Everything that God is and has is good. Everything. Everything, on the other hand, that the devil has is evil and is wicked. When a person today, and you know, when you go and if you have a 20 or I suppose anything larger, why, what's the first thing they do when you hand a $20 bill to somebody? They get their little pen out and they mark it. They've got to see if it's counterfeit. If it's counterfeit. Why would anybody do that? Well, they want to have money to spend that they haven't properly earned. They haven't worked for it. They went to their basement and got their old machine out and cranked it and pumped out some money and went and tried to spend it. And it's too bad that, you know, now and then you and I end up with a counterfeit bill. And you know what that means? You're out $20. Somebody's giving it to you. It's fake. It's phony. It's not real. And it always comes to light that it is just that. Now, the devil does the same thing. He is out to produce something that's not real. And in his means of counterfeiting or doing things like God, he loves to do things as God does it. But he can't. He doesn't have the authority to do that. He is fake. He is phony. He's counterfeit. But he still tries. He wants people to come and worship him. God is the only one that deserves worship and praise. He is the only one that deserves worship and praise. But the devil is out to get worship and praise in a fake way. He doesn't own anything. He doesn't possess anything. He has no rights. But he comes in the face of God, in the looks of God, and fools multitudes of people. The devil has many things that God has, or tries to mimic many things. God has the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The devil, on the other hand, has the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet as his Trinity. God calls and ordains preachers. But you know, the devil does the same thing. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, because I want to show you this in the Scripture. As 2 weeks ago, we were through the Scripture, in and out of it. We're going to do the same thing today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil has his own preachers. He calls his own preachers. There are two women listed here in the book of Revelation. One is a mother of righteousness and purity, and we're going to be going back to the 12th chapter of Revelation several times, so go ahead and just take your hand, get your hand back there to Revelation chapter 12, because we're going to be in and out of chapter 12 and comparing these two women. Mother of righteousness is our God. The other is unrighteousness, the mother of harlots and abominations. Now, the 17th chapter clearly tells us that. So chapter 12 is going to tell us the good things about our God and who we should follow. And chapter 17 is going to tell us who the world follows. And so let's follow along here closely. Both has given birth. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And so you see that we have the righteous one in Revelation 12:5. Now let's read 17:5, Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And so we have first, we have the son that's brought forth, Savior of the world. Second, we have here the one that is the mother of harlots and abominations. Next, we look to see how they're clothed, how the two different are clothed. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head crown of 12 stars. That's how the righteous one is clothed. Now let's look at the second. 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colors, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. One is clothed with the lights of heaven, What's the other one clothed with? Sometimes things we call precious. Let's look again. We have here in this, in the fourth verse, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, holding a golden cup in her hand. All those things are earthly. All those things are of earth. And so please, we need to see that we are heavenly minded. We got our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing the mother of harlots and of abominations could clothe herself with was just the wealth of this earth, purple and scarlet. And purple, you know, shows king. The scarlet color, of course, we know that that our Lord Jesus shed his precious blood. Well, the devil's a mimic, and so he's got to put this clothing on and then arrays himself with all the pearls and precious stones and rings and all those things that are so very important to the world. And so we have clothed with earthly things. Now, as we continue, the righteous mother has the moon under her feet, and we see that in the first verse of chapter 12 again. We've read that already. The moon under her feet shows the level of authority she has. Now, the other, the second, the one of the harlot, mother of harlots, hath the rule only over the kings of the earth, have no other rule. The first brings forth, and this comment was made, a masculine nobility. That's the state that the first, the righteous one. The second produces a feminine impurity. And I thought that was a neat example. And what do we have today? When you look into the schools and you look into a lot of the education and you look at television today, it all takes, there is no strong man left. They try to take the man and make him feminine, make him weak. And that's exactly what the old devil wants to do, and that's all he's able to do. He wants to take the strength out of man and make him into a woman, and that's what the devil's trying to do. And so several things here. We have the first, again, as I've read in chapter 12, verse 1, the crown of 12 stars. Let's look at the second. The second one has the name of a name of destroyer and is drunk with the blood of the saints. That's what the second has to offer. The first takes his place in heaven. In heaven, the second will take the place in hell, eternal ruin. The first gives us a beautiful picture in the 12th chapter of the nation of Israel. And out of the nation of Israel comes our Savior. And what a wonderful gift we have gotten, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful gift. The second is a mother of harlots, the great harlot. And if you look in the fourth verse again with me, we're going to read it of chapter 17, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Mother of harlots. In God's word, the word harlots stand for a debauched worship, idolatry, false devotion. When people worship as God that which is not God, but a God of their own making, that is the definition that we have. They are worshiping other gods. A people that give their hearts to idols instead of giving their heart to the true God. A people that set up their own system of doctrines. The scripture calls this whoredom, adultery, fornication. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 3 with me. Jeremiah chapter 3, we're going to read the 6th and then the 8th and 9th verse. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up unto every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And said, After she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she turned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And once again, when a people worship as God that which is not God, but a God of their own making, that is adultery, fornication, and whoredom. So remember this as we're looking through the rest of this scripture today. We need to take time now to go back to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and turn it to the 12th chapter of that book, Matthew, Mark, chapter 12. And look to the 29th and 30th verse. I didn't want to just read this. I had written the verse out, but I want you to read it too. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. And Jesus answered him, The first of all commandments, the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Now, you can see that this is very much the opposite. Because the woman in this 17th chapter has turned the hearts of a multitudes of people, still doing it today, most active today, knowing his time is short. But this has also turned the hearts of kings and from the true God, Jehovah. And they have turned to their own gods, whether it is stones or something they've carved in the trees or something like the sun or the moon or the stars, anything that they worship other than the true God Jehovah, as this first commandment comes to us, is whoredom, adultery, fornication. She is the mother of all isms, of all false religions. By the devil, this is all won over, and it's called Babylon. And so every book, every Bible that's been changed from the truths of God's word has been accomplished, has been led by the mother of harlots, Babylon. Every false teaching, and there are multitudes out there. Many religions have the Bible, the Word of God, and then they add another book so that they can tie it together. The church that we first attended when we were saved and left there, but they had a book of all the instructions, and you've heard me say this many times. But in that book of instruction, it said, if you weren't a very educated individual, do not read the Word of God. Do not read the Word of God. How do people come out of those false religions? They receive the Word of God, the truth. And that truth is truly what sets them free. So we don't have to argue with them their falseness. Give them the Word of God. That's all we need to do. Give them the Word of God and let the Spirit go to work. And hopefully they'll see what's going on and they'll turn and come back. Come to the Lord. This Babylon, this great harlot that's talked about here, where did this originate from? If you'll go back to the 10th and 11th chapter of Genesis, and please do that this afternoon, you're going to run into a man named Nimrod. Man named Nimrod. Now, I looked that up to see because I wanted to find, I'm always, it's one thing that I look at, and that is the dates, because I want to see, how long was it before God had to destroy this earth with water, with the flood? Well, that's about 1,000 years. Within 1,000 years, the connection there is so close, and yet wicked man so quickly. There was not one good thought. There was not, I think the last person, Methuselah probably and Lamech together probably died about the same time, and then God said it's done, put Noah into the ark and his sons and their wives and the animals shut the door and judgment came. 1,000 years. Well, that was about 2350 BC when that took place. And just 100 years later, did Nimrod show up onto the scene? Within 100 years. Grandson of Ham, one of the very ones that was on the ship, watched God save them, watched God rescue them from the judgment, and yet a grandson already is responsible for this. Most of you know the rest of the story. He built the Tower of Babel, or Babylon. It's in the land of Shinar. They were all of one speech. And Nimrod means rebellion, rebellious panther, a forerunner of the Antichrist. Nineveh, where Jonah preached, is about 300 miles north of this city, where Abraham was born and raised in Ur is about 150 miles south of here. My point in making that is to show you how it expanded, because Nineveh was full of idol worship. They followed the great whore. So did Ur. Why do you think God delivered Abraham out? It was because of the idol worship, and Abraham's dad and family were idol worshipers. And so it expanded 450 miles, we know, this belief and this following. You wonder when Abraham was called out? He was called out about 150 years after Nimrod had raised the tower, and God destroyed it. Now, with this this tower, Nimrod set out to build. This is the beginning of Babylon. Nimrod set out to build a tower to reach into heaven. He thought he could. He was so arrogant that he thought that he could do that. He could be there. Under his leadership, the people began to set out to build this city and this tower, and to build into God's house was their purpose. They intended to get to heaven by their own means and own ability. How many ways are there to get to heaven? One. The Bible history tells us that Nimrod was maybe one of the first and maybe one of the best community organizers. We hear that word today. It appears that he also was probably the first king, and he was the founder of tyranny. He desired. Babel means the gate to God. This was the beginning of image worship. Idolatry was born on almost international level at this time. Why do you think in Revelation chapter 17, God is bringing such a judgment and calls it Babylon? Because of the start here and how multitudes followed. God stopped the city. He destroyed the temple. And everybody there spoke a different language instantly. Talk about confusion. Talk about confusion. You'd have thought that would have done away with idol worship. But what happened was, even though they couldn't communicate, that evil thought, evil spirit was in their hearts. And they carried this idol worship into today. And we still have it today. Only today it is grown and is greater than ever. That phony, that imitator, that one that desires you to worship him instead of worshiping the true God, seems to be winning. Seems like he's gaining greater numbers. He doesn't have to bring you into satanic worship like some. All he has to do is take you out of a place that teaches the truth and into a place that doesn't. That's all he needs to do. If you're saved, he can't get your soul, but he can sure get your children, and he can sure get your grandchildren's. That's how the old devil works, and all you have to do is drive down the road and you see all the different names and all the different activities. And in most cases, the spirit's not there. It remains the abomination of the earth. In the second verse of this 17th chapter, as we close, I just kind of brought a survey together of what we are going to talk about with this destruction. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The wine of her fornication. Self-exalted. Wine of fornication is the wine of Babylon, the mother of harlots. Now, we have just basically placed an introduction on this 17th chapter. We need to take a look at it. You need to know who brought this on, why Babylon is held in such judgment, why the wrath of God is so strong against it. And it still remains today. And as the Antichrist brings his full appearance and character out during this tribulation period, it will become stronger and stronger. The church will seem to fall, or believers' numbers will continue to dwindle as he continues to take possession. But there's a day of judgment, there's a day of justice, and it's coming soon, and we need to be ready. We need to be giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a free nation, as a free land that has an opportunity to not only teach and learn ourselves the Word of God, But we have an opportunity and a financial blessing that no other nation's ever had to take it around the world. And we need to do that because the time is short. Reach our families, reach our communities, and reach the nation, and reach the world for Jesus Christ. And we need to do it and do it now. This time is coming, and it's coming soon. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you today that we have an opportunity to stand in this pulpit and preach your precious word. And I ask that our hearts be stirred and that we be excited about your word, hearing the truth, seeing this awful time that's coming, judgment has come upon this great whore, Babylon. For some 4,000 years, Babylon has been into place and has deceived and misled millions and millions of people. Well, there will be a judgment day. I hope, dear Father, that we don't have folks here that do not know you as their Savior, that they have chose to worship idols and things of this earth instead of coming the only way, and that's by faith to you. But along with that, dear Lord, we need to hope and pray that none of us have children or grandchildren that have followed the way of the world. But I know we have, and know we do. Give us the strength. Give us the witness and testimony to touch their hearts and change their lives. Otherwise, they'll see this time. They'll be a part of this if they choose the way of Babylon. And Father, please just touch our hearts. It's your precious Spirit that's got to teach us your truth and give us the strength to proclaim it. So we ask for that power and strength, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for all the blessings you've poured out upon us and continue to, dear Lord. Thank you for the victory of salvation, and please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.